From the day that sin and death became a part of the human condition, God had a plan to redeem mankind. Even in the moment when God was condemning sin in man, he also made a promise that from the seed of woman, one would come who would crush the power of Satan and free us from his power. Reading from Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord. Throughout history, God continued to repeat and clarify the words of his first promise. The prophet Isaiah speaks frequently about the Messiah who will come to deliver God's people. "This Messiah shall arise from the line of David, the son of Jesse." Reading from Isaiah 11, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the branch of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people, from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. This is the word of the Lord. Reading from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the account of God's word becoming flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Reading from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the good news that God wants us to spread to all people. Reading from Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest of the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Though we may not have been present to bring Jesus gold or frankincense or myrrh, we may still present to him the treasure he most desires: our hearts. As we celebrate again his birth, may the joy of that first Christmas fill our heart, responding to his love for us. Let us contemplate how we may best express our love for him, not only today, but throughout our lives. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. I assume that you are here this evening because you actually believe what the Bible verses we have been reading say about the birth of our Savior Jesus. And although they do tell us some about the purpose of Jesus coming into this world, even if those particular words were not recorded for us, the events themselves would speak volumes about who God is and what he is about. For instance, that star. You know, there's a lot of objects in the heavens. There's rocks up there. And every now and again, some of those rocks come close to the earth. And I remember, 10, 15 years ago, time's flying too fast. But there are a couple of movies that came out about asteroids coming for the earth that were going to destroy our planet. And in one of them, they built this titanium space shuttle. And it went up and they landed on the rock, they drilled a big hole in it, and then they blew it up, and it missed the earth, and the earth was saved. Now, if you really believe that our government could pull that off, raise your hands. We don't have the power to stop rocks from hitting the earth, let alone raging all of the heavens. In a coordinated effort, so that when the Savior is coming into this world, there would be a star, which not everybody recognized. And we don't know exactly what the precise nature of it was. But there were a few people who understood its meaning and who followed that star directly to the place where Jesus was born, being directed by its movements. We can't even stop a rock from hitting the earth. What does it take to be able to move the heavens in such a way? How awesome is God in his power? We cannot begin to plummet the heights nor the depths of his abilities. And when God has broken into human history, and put, if you will, just an ounce of that power on display. For instance, when he came down in Mount Sinai and literally spoke from a flaming mountain to the people gathered below. Or when Jesus, with just a word, calmed the wind and the waves. The reaction of sinful human beings was always the same. They shook in their boots or sandals. They feared. To be in the presence of such power would, I think, frighten every one of us. But when the Savior does appear, he doesn't appear in great power, in full display of his majesty, because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the creator of the entire universe. At the birth of Jesus, not only does God display the fullness of his power, but the fullness of his mercy towards us. Because he doesn't come to sinful man in that power and might. He comes in frail, tiny human flesh. He doesn't have even a regular bed to sleep in. His first bed is a manger. And while he should have been greeted by all the kings of the earth, who does God choose to first visit him? shepherds, watching over their flocks by night. Now, Scripture does, if you will, in some ways, idolize shepherds. After all, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. But in real life, if you would make a ladder of all the different occupations in society, and were to place shepherds on that ladder, in everyday Jewish society, they were at the bottom of the rung. They were smelly. They were ritually unclean most of the time, unable to enter into the temple courts because of their occupation, unless they took a couple of weeks off to become ritually clean. When the Christ is born, the announcement of angels, myriads and myriads of them, comes to those lowly shepherds. What do we conclude from these acts of God? His great power, but also unbelievable humility. Not afraid to be weak before us. We could only conclude that he is not only a God of great power and majesty, but a God of mercy and love for his people. Why does he take on that human flesh? The explanation was clearly given to Joseph. He will be called holy, the Son of God, because he will save his people from their sins. God didn't come to earth to tell us what to do. He had angels that could accomplish that for him. Or as he did on Mount Sinai, he could just announce it to the world with his own voice. No, Jesus came to earth to take his great power and to conquer for us that which we could not, to save us from our sins, and in so doing, to save us from the penalty of sin, death, and hell. For not only can we not stop rocks from hitting the earth, as much as our science and technology grows, we cannot escape death. It is God's judgment upon us. And that is why God comes to earth, to take on that human flesh which can do nothing to redeem itself, to face that great enemy death, which we had no power over, to take the full penalty of sin, and then rise again, that he might give life to all who put their faith and trust in him. Tonight we remember not just what God has said, but most of all we remember what God has done. And that little child lying in a manger, the full power of God has come to earth to deliver us. Let us rejoice in that knowledge. but also let us share that knowledge with a world that desperately needs a Savior from sin. Amen.